Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Now they want to change the name Cracker Barrel. Yes, they're coming after the restaurant chain Cracker Barrel. Why? Why not? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show. Happy Friday, 855-839-1210. On Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Democrats want to take down statues of Democrats. Confederates, because, Lincoln was a Republican, and then they had the Civil War. And the Republican Party platform, which was started as a platform to return to the Constitution, fiscal responsibility, the Second Amendment, and, yes, the abolition of slavery. The Democrat Party in the 1850s was against those things, as they're against many of those things today, like, for example, say, you know, the Second Amendment. The parties have not changed. It's one of the big lies that's spread throughout history. It's a lie. It's a total lie. I've spent a lot of time breaking that down for you. There's an unbroken line of progressive thought that goes from the Confederacy to Woodrow Wilson to FDR to Lyndon Johnson, Hubert Humphrey, McGovern, on and on and on, Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders, AOC today. This progressivism, socialism, has never changed. It's always been there. Now, they've had various inclinations of this, and there have been liberal Republicans over the years like Teddy Roosevelt, but there's been conservative Democrats like John F. Kennedy. The problem is that we have an education system that doesn't teach our history, and so somewhere along the way, they decided to put out this lie that the parties flipped. The parties never flipped. The parties have always been the same. On the core basic tenets, the parties have been the same. In the 19-teens and 20s, the progressives, the Democrats, were offering up the store to everybody, to take care of everybody again. The same thing they were doing under the New Deal with FDR, same thing that Johnson, LBJ, the Great Society, the War on Poverty, Medicaid, Medicare. Does that, any of this sound familiar to you? All of these things, these social safety nets, FDR, Social Security, Woodrow Wilson with all of his nonsense too. But what's amazing about it, though, is that somewhere along the line, they said there was a Southern strategy and the parties changed, and that the Republicans of 1860 are now the Democrats of today. That's not true. That's absolutely a lie. It's one of those lies that's told all the time. So you have these Confederates in the Capitol. I didn't even know there were Confederate statues in the Capitol. And I'm not a big fan of this whole whitewashing, trying to get rid of history, trying to cover things up. I think it's important to learn from our history. What's amazing to me, though, is that Democrats have always rejected the ideas of renaming military bases, taking down statues. They've never wanted to do this stuff. Now they want to do all this stuff because they want to try to make it seem like Trump doesn't want to do this stuff. And Republicans are so terrible at fighting back. They really are. They're so bad at it that they don't even remind people that these were Democrats, these Confederates. I mean, they were. It's just amazing to me how history, it's like if aliens came down to Earth, they'd say, wait a second, the party that ended slavery is the racist party? Like, what? But that's education for you. That's what happens in our country when people don't really learn properly. And so the very smart Democrat political activists were able to convince everybody that this magic change happened with Republicans and Democrats, that the parties flipped. No, they never did. But that was one of the political strategies that they used to try to convince everybody of that. the unbroken line of progressivism, of socialist thought that goes all the way back to the Confederacy, where the Confederacy talked about having the first income tax. The Confederacy talked about the virtues of slavery by being able to provide for people housing and fair wages, because they did not believe that people should ever have to not make enough money. I mean, if you read about these people, if you read about the mindset of these people back then under the Confederate States of America, their ideas were totally antithetical to individual liberty. My God, I mean, owning people, right? And they did not believe, they believed people needed to be taken care of and provided for. And that their argument was slavery was a great way to achieve that. The Republican Party was literally formed to be an abolitionist party, but it wasn't just about abolition. It was also about the Second Amendment, which was under direct attack by the Democrats back then, as it is today. It was to pledge for fiscal reform because spending was out of control. Does that sound very different than today? And this line of progressive thought, which goes all the way from then until now, is unbroken. You've had, like I said, outliers. But the Republicans has always been based on a party of conservatism. People will bring up Teddy Roosevelt. They won't bring up Calvin Coolidge, the most conservative president of this country's history. Calvin Coolidge. But what they'll do is they'll try to twist into knots explaining how the Democrat Party back then is different than the Democrat Party today. Why are you part of a political party that was literally the party of slavery and Jim Crow and the Klan? And like, why are you a member of that political party? It's something I've never understood. I've never been able to understand why somebody would want to be a part of that political party. And the way that they justify it to people to get them to sign up is to say, oh, no. We're the Republicans from then now. Well, then why didn't you change your name? Why didn't you rebrand the party? Why didn't you change the name of the party? Call yourself the Lincolns or something, if that's how you really believe. But to do that, understand why they can't do that. To do that, they would have to scrub the memory of their progressive forefathers. They would have to pretend like Franklin Delano Roosevelt wasn't a Democrat. Because remember, that was the 1930s and 40s. It wasn't the 70s. FDR was president in the 30s and 40s, not the 60s, not the 70s, not the 80s. He was a Democrat. He is the father of modern day progressivism. And Bernie Sanders constantly references him. Joe Biden references him. They all reference FDR. They love FDR. They want to be FDR. They love Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They want to embody him. FDR was anti-Semitic. FDR was racist. FDR was a person who put Italian Americans, Japanese Americans, and German Americans in concentration camps without due process. FDR was a really bad, bad man, personally. Now, of course, he deserves incredible credit for World War II. And like everything else, people are complicated. So I don't want to scrub the memory of FDR. I'm not advocating that we abolish FDR's memory from Earth. I'm saying we learn about FDR. We understand the true story of FDR. But the problem is that what the left wants to do today is get rid of people like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. They want to get rid of all these people because of their sins, but they ignore the sins of their own people. Why? Because if they were to say that the Democrat Party today is not the Democrat Party it was back then, why was FDR a Democrat and why are you embodying his New Deal principles? Why do you reference him all the time? If they're two different parties, why do you reference him all the time? If things have changed so much, why did LBJ take the mantle from FDR and run with it? Why did Barack Obama take the mantle from LBJ and run with it? Why did Humphrey and McGovern and all these other lefties who ran for president, why did they all embrace socialism? The ideas that these people were spewing in the 60s are no different than what Bernie Sanders is spewing today and AOC. It's just now it's politically acceptable. Back then it was kooky. It's still kooky in my opinion, but. So when you think about it from that perspective, it totally smashes in this narrative that they tell, this great lie that this flip happened, this big flip. And just ask them, if that's the case, then why was Woodrow Wilson a Democrat? Why was FDR a Democrat? If that's the case, if that happened. And then they'll tell you, well, no, the flip happened after LBJ. They'll do this other lie, right? And they'll say to you, LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act into law. And then after that, that's when the parties flipped. That's when Democrats decided that they were going to be Republicans and Republicans decided they were going to be Democrats. And that's when the flip happened, all because of that, because of the Civil Rights Bill. That's not true. The reality is the Civil Rights Bill never would have passed into law without Republicans. And there were several versions of the Civil Rights Bill that passed under Dwight Eisenhower and before LBJ signed the most famous one of 1964. There were several other civil rights bills that Republicans were pushing, and a Republican president signed into law, signed multiple civil rights bills into law. Again, the lie that's put out there by the left is that after LBJ signed that, all these Democrats in the South said, "That's it, I'm a Republican now." Bill Clinton won the South in 1992. How's that possible if Bill Clinton was a Democrat and won the South if the parties flipped? How could he have done that? How could he have won the South in 1992? Woodrow Wilson, Wilsonianism, as they say. He was the governor of New Jersey. He was the president of Princeton University. He was a horrible guy. The godfather of liberalism. Democrat. Let me read you this from the Heritage Foundation. It has become fashionable today for those who once called themselves liberals to refer to themselves instead as progressives. This is a phenomenon evident both among our politicians and among our intellectual class. In the 2008 presidential primary, Hillary Clinton was asked whether she was a liberal. She distanced from that term and said she called herself a progressive. When pressed on that, she made clear that she meant by this term to connect herself to the original progressives from the turn of the 20th century. Similarly, what is arguably the most prominent think tank on the left today is called the Center for American Progress. Citizens who are concerned with the battle of ideas today must therefore endeavor to come to terms both with contemporary progressivism and with its foundational principles from the original turn of the century movement. Progressive movement. To understand this now, Woodrow Wilson, 28th president of the United States, Democrat, Jersey guy. Now, he wasn't born in Jersey, but he was governor, obviously. He's like Phil Murphy. Imagine Phil Murphy, but becoming president, which is terrifying. So he was an absolutely terrible guy. He resegregated the military. He purged the federal government of African-Americans. Do you know that? He purged the government of black people so that they couldn't work in the government anymore. But he was and he landed his first academic job, by the way, Bryn Mawr College. That's right. So he winds up becoming president of the United States and pushing all of these kooky lefty positions. And he criticized Teddy Roosevelt in 1912 for his approach to military interventionism and foreign policy and all this other stuff. Then, of course, he would get us into World War I, something America, in my opinion, never should have been into. But Wilson understood that this notion of progressivism, progress, they had to come up with a new name for it because socialism was a bad name in Europe. It had a bad connotation. So what they did was all the ideas of progressivism, of the government taking care of people, Wilson tried to create a reinterpretation of the founding of this country and the Declaration and the Constitution. And he had to now understand these things through a progressive lens. That's what he tried to do. And so what he wound up doing was putting out a lot of different ideas. And then every time somebody would say, "Well, that sounds socialist," he'd go, no, it's progressive. It's progressive. We're doing progressivism. Explain to me how these Democrats today can link to him. He was president 100 years ago. But then in the same breath, tell us the party's flipped. So if a Democrat president 100 years ago had the same ideas you're running on today, how have the parties flipped? Explain that to me. How have they flipped? And then they'll also then, of course, bring up FDR and the New Deal. And he had several New Deals, his court packing, all the other things that he tried to do. You know, they always embody FDR. AOC constantly talking about FDR and what he would have wanted to achieve and take care of people and the social safety net and all this other stuff. You know, Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt both had the images of, for example, covering your health care. Do you know that? So the very first inclinations of this came from those progressive presidents, those progressives. But we hear this lie today. And so now Democrats turn around and say they want to take down Confederate statues. But they've had the opportunity to do it in the past. They never did. And they don't want to acknowledge it. These are technically Democrats that they're taking down, the statues of Democrats, because that's what happened. Republicans won the presidency in 1860, and after that, these Democrat states seceded from the Union, and they wanted to go their own way. The Democrats hate that history, but it's their history. And now they want to go after the founders, too. They're not going to go after FDR because of the internment of Japanese-Americans, Italian-Americans, and German-Americans. Like, if they did that, if he were Republican, he'd be gone. There'd be no mention of FDR ever because of that. But they love him. They admire. He's their epicenter. So they'll never bring him up. Same thing with Woodrow Wilson. They'll never bring up Wilson as a segregationist. They'll never talk about that. So everybody will go into the Jersey rest stop, the Woodrow Wilson rest stop, and then they'll go, "Oh, look, what a wonderful rest stop this is." But they won't talk about the fact that the guy was a total racist. But again, he's a progressive. They link to him. And in the same breath, tell us the party's changed. They're so full of it. They really are. These people are such liars. But they all hate the founders. They want to go after the founding fathers. And think about it. Woodrow Wilson and FDR are so antithetical to everything the founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, all of it. So doesn't it make sense that they skip all their progressive presidents and go right to the founders? Because the ultimate goal, as I've told you many times, it's not really about Confederate generals. It's about getting rid of the founding tenets of our country. It's getting rid of America as a republic. And to do that, you got to go back and scrub America's memory of the founders, paint them as all evil, bad people. And then you got to scrub our founding. Obviously, if they're evil, bad people, then the documents they all wrote are evil and bad too. So now you got to get rid of those, meaning you got to tear up the Constitution. The Constitution is the only thing standing in the way of these people, the progressives, having a run of it, having a run of the entire country. For example, the Electoral College. I mean, if the Electoral College were gone tomorrow, California and New York would decide every presidential election. So what I'm saying to you is that ultimately, if you can tarnish the founders and the framers, not even have the conversation about their good qualities, what they did well and what they did bad and where they stood up, if you can just completely paint them as evil, then the documents they wrote are evil too. Then you got to rewrite those documents. Now, ultimately, you got to then overturn the republic. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm willing to have the conversation about the good contributions of FDR. Not Wilson. He was terrible. He was the worst president in American history. But I'm willing to have the conversations about FDR and World War II and working with Churchill. And I'm happy to do all that. I don't want FDR removed. I'm not asking people to rename things that are named after Roosevelt. I'm not asking people to scrub his memory from history. But that's what the left wants to do with so many other people in our nation's history because they were bad people. But he was a bad guy. Who gets to decide this anyway? Why are we doing this? I don't want anybody scrubbed from our nation's history. I want us to learn from our history. I want us to learn, but I just find it very hypocritical and convenient that their names never come up. And then they lie about this party flip. This is CNN's Angela Rye on discussing all this now, what needs to happen, and cut number one.
Is it about statues and monuments? I know you saw the interview I did with Corey Stewart, mm-hmm. who's trying to run for a Senate seat there in Virginia. And he makes the case that it is about statues and monuments, and everyone's trying to make it about something else.
I think that we have to get to the heart of the problem here, and the heart of the problem is the way in which many of us were taught American history. American history is not all glorious, and even though I love John to death, I couldn't disagree more about George Washington. George Washington was a slave owner, and we need to call slave owners out for what they are. Whether we think they were protecting American freedom or not, he wasn't protecting my freedom. I wasn't someone who my ancestors weren't deemed human beings to him. And so to me, I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down. There is a way that we can recognize and appreciate. I'm going to finish my point. I'm not feeding into white supremacy. I'm calling out white supremacy for what it is. And sometimes what it is, John, are blind spots. Sometimes what it is not acknowledging that this country was built upon a very violent past that resulted in death and the raping and the killing of my ancestors. So I'm not going to allow us to say that it's okay for a Robert E. Lee, but not a George Washington. We need to call it what it is. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be taught about. We definitely need to learn about it. So we don't repeat it because we're very close to repeating it right now. But I'm not giving any deference to George Washington or to Robert E. Lee.
You know what's interesting about that is that there are a lot of people who bled for her ancestors too, who bled for their ancestors. And Lincoln refused to end the war until the states agreed to pass the 13th Amendment to the Constitution ending slavery. He would not end the Civil War until that happened. The problem is that when you just frame people as either all bad or all good, you wind up then either creating deities or creating pure evil monsters. And you can't learn, you can't understand that. The founders were not great people in today's standards, of course. And obviously the slavery issue is America's original sin, but it was done, the Constitution written in a way that would ultimately end slavery. That was the goal. That was the objective of this. It was to eventually end slavery. And then we fought a war over it. And the president at the time said, this war is not ending until they agree to pass the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. I wish people would realize that. And so now we get to Christopher Columbus. And they were beheading him now. We're beheading his statue now. But they won't touch FDR and Woodrow Wilson or LBJ. They won't touch any of these people. They just pretend like it never happened. And then they'll tell you that Lincoln was really a Democrat. It's the hypocrisy of these people is amazing. How they're able to get through a day with all the knots they have to twist themselves into is amazing. I'm proud that I've always been a member of a political party that was the party that abolished slavery. I'm very proud of that fact.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, 855-839-1210 is the number. So, Columbus, what did the LoveGov say about the Columbus statue? And will he be canceled for saying this right now? Because obviously it's very, very pro getting rid of the Columbus statue. The LoveGov, as we call him, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, who'd like to be president himself one day. He's also a big fan of naming things after people. He named the formerly known Tappan Zee Bridge as now the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge. Even though it was originally named for Native Americans, it's now named for his father. He loves naming things. But this is what he said about Christopher Columbus statue, cut number 3.
Governor, is it time for the Christopher Columbus statue to go in New York City? And when it comes to reopening, how are you going to be protecting elderly workers who are too afraid to go back to work, people who need childcare as everything reopens, and should businesses have liability?
Well, there's a lot in there. The local governments, we have a phased reopening plan, and then local governments enact a plan on a local level. Christopher Columbus, I understand the dialogue has been going on for a number of years. The Christopher Columbus statue represents, in some ways, the Italian-American legacy in this country and the Italian-American contribution in this country. I understand the feelings about Christopher Columbus and some of his acts, which nobody would support. But the statue has come to represent and signify appreciation for the Italian-American contribution to New York. So for that reason, I support it.
By the way, I agree with him. I agree with Cuomo. Isn't that amazing, Dawn? Is this a sign of the apocalypse or something?
I know. Zeoli and Cuomo agree on something.
I don't know. was it a fact or an opinion I agreed with? I don't know. He's right, though, and also
facts because, and opinion.
Exactly. Now, is he canceled, though, Dawn? They cancel him now as governor. Does he have to resign?
Maybe.
I don't know. He might be out. They may not let him back in the party now. Maybe he'll walk it back today. What I meant was it should be in an Olive Garden or something like that. I didn't mean like on a street, put it in like an Italian restaurant.
I was watching I think Stephen Colbert did a monologue a few days ago, and Cuomo said something that they didn't agree with. And Colbert started the clip by saying, and Andrew Cuomo reminds us why we hate Andrew Cuomo. So I think he's on the outs with it. Like he was a friend, like everybody loved him there for a hot second during the coronavirus thing. But now that he's getting, speaking out about different things, I think they're sick and tired of him. So I think he's on the outs.
Because he dared to contradict them on something. So now he's canceled from the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something. And, when I heard Colbert say that, I was like, oh, the tides are shifting against Andrew Cuomo now.
Was it the prison slave labor making his hand sanitize?
No,
it wasn't that.
It was not that.
It was not that. Interesting.
I think he said, when he contradicted, what's his name, de Blasio, over the NYPD's use of force.
Oh, okay. And then they said, this is what reminds us why we hate Andrew Cuomo?
Yes. Yep. Hmm.
Well, now they want to rename Cracker Barrel. They're going after Cracker Barrel, too. Remember, Cracker Barrel is where all the deplorables go to eat. Did you know that? I read that in an op-ed in the Philadelphia Inquirer a couple years ago after the 2016 election. I forget who read it, who wrote it. I know that there were clowns to the left. I can't remember what's to the right of the op-ed. But anyway, so in that op-ed, they said, I'm going to start going to Cracker Barrel more to understand, regular people, how regular people operate. Cracker Barrel is not named. It's not like they didn't come up with a name. How can we be a racist restaurant? Let's call ourselves Cracker Barrel. Does anybody actually think that that's what they did?
No.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, you sent this article to me. This article is amazing about why they want to get rid of it. And in the article, there all these people on Twitter. They're quoting people on Twitter from BizPack Review who are saying, "What did you think? It's got the name Cracker in it."
Yes. Yeah. There's no real. I mean, the gist of the article is there's no real reason they want to get rid of it. They just think it sounds. They think it sounds racist. Like it just sounds like it's like, you know, like a down home white slave owner that owns it or something. You know what I mean? It just sound, they don't like the way it sounds.
Yeah. Like they turned around and they said, you know what? How do we make sure that people understand this is a white supremacist restaurant? Call it Cracker Barrel. Obviously.
Which it actually shows the barrel, which is like back in the day in the early 1900s, there was such a thing as a barrel full of soda crackers. Like
no,
that's not what they claim. Fake news, fake history, fake
that's
history.
That's what they claim.
No, what they did was they would they'd stand on the barrel and yell, "We crackers, we're in
Stop.
Charge now."
No,
on their barrel in the public square. Look it up. By the way, how many crackers were arrested on the show Cops is my question, by the way.
A lot. I mean,
because isn't that the, I mean, when you hear that term, that derogatory term, cracker, I mean, that's really like, first of all, I think it's one of those outdated terms, right, that nobody even uses anymore. But aren't you kind of talking about the very same people, the mullets that we make fun of all the time?
Yes, it's,
I would think
like
so,
a,
right?
Yeah, it's like a Lily white bread type guy who does.
I think of a guy drinking a guy in a trailer park with a 40 and a mullet in Florida. Who's got like a pet gator? That in my mind, that's what I think of. You know,
the Tiger King.
Tiger King. Yeah, that's a good example, right? Yeah, like that. Like that stereotype right there. But I don't think a corporation sat around and said, "Let's create a restaurant called Cracker Barrel," because that's the image we want to put out there to America. This poor restaurant is coming under attack. This chain for nothing other than people think the name might be racist. They can't even articulate why.
No.
It's amazing.
Well, are they going to change saltine crackers?
They should.
What are we going to call it? A biscuit? It's not even like
biscuits are racist too. Don't you understand? They make them a Cracker Barrel.
What's funny about this story is like most outrages, they start on social media, and everybody can just say, well, it's not a real outrage because it starts on social media, which is 100% legitimate. But the problem is that these corporations and these people. They see social media and they're like, well, this is we have to do this because the social media mob is coming after us.
Exactly.
So when anybody dismisses it, it's just a social media outrage. It turns into a real outrage because corporations bow to the social media mobs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You're exactly right. That's what happens. They see the outrage and then the corporations go, oh, we're terrified.
Yes.
They're coming. We got to give into the mob. And the mob goes, oh, good. They gave into us. Now let's demand more things.
Unless you're Netflix.
You're Netflix.
Right. Some of these subscriptions that got the social media tried to go after them. And they said, look at our subscriptions. You're a tiny percentage of the social media, it's actually a tiny group.
Oh, it's not real. It's not real at all. So, but I think Greg's point is 100% right, which is that people inflate it to think it's real. And then they make decisions based on that. Like, Lady Antebellum is now Lady A, right?
Yeah.
The country music band changed their name.
They did.
I guarantee you that's because somebody on Twitter said, why are you Lady Antebellum? Antebellum's racist.
That's exactly what happened. And they
said,
I'm not a fan.
And then somebody
anymore.
Saw that in their world, their universe, and said, we got to change the name.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody thought they were a racist band.
No.
Nobody was around there going that they call themselves Lady Antebellum because they're promoting white supremacy. Like nobody thought that. Just like nobody thought Cracker Barrel was racist. Nobody thinks these things. And then all of a sudden somebody thinks something like that. And then all of a sudden it's a fact now. And then everybody has to then change everything to accommodate the people that think that that's a fact.
We have to change our name because John271 on Twitter thinks that we're racist.
Yeah, John271 says Lady Antebellum's racist because it's Antebellum. So they've been Lady Antebellum for how many years? How many years were they Lady Antebellum? Like 20? How long has that band been around? 10, 15? I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Country's not your genre,
right? Anything outside the 80s is not your genre.
But, I mean, come on.
Was there ever a situation where it's like a whites-only concert or black people are not allowed to come to our concerts or shows? Was there ever an accusation of any point, any time, of them being racist?
Nope.
No. No, and they were always Lady Antebellum. So why now is it that's racist? You know what I mean? Like, why is it now that that suddenly? And I guarantee you, it's because somebody on Twitter made it so. And next thing you know, that's it. That's the way it goes, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's not, so maybe Cracker Barrel will just come out and just call themselves Barrel.
Or Biscuit, right? Biscuit Barrel.
No, Barrel, just Barrel. That's just Barrel, Greg. Just drop the cracker and just be Barrel.
I think that's 100%. I mean, we're joking about this, but I would put money on the fact that they are eventually going to change their name.
Yeah, it's like Dunkin' Donuts changed their name. They're now basically DD, right? They're not really Dunkin' Donuts anymore. Yeah. It's DD, you know, because donuts were fattening and everything like that. So they wanted to kind of walk away from that a little bit. So Cracker Barrel will just sort of come to the Barrel. It'll be like, remember when Radio Shack used to call themselves The Shack? Because they wanted to distance themselves from the radios. You remember
radio.
That?
Yeah.
They were trying to play up the fact that they sold those crappy Tandy computers. And then years later, when nobody was actually going to Radio Shack anymore to buy anything, it was like Radio Shack. So they started to call themselves The Shack. Come to The Shack for all your battery needs. 100%. Cracker Barrel is going to do the same thing. It's going to be come to the Barrel for the bacon you love.
Country Barrel.
No, just Barrel. Just Barrel, Dawn. I'm telling you. They're not going to add a name to it. They're just going to drop. Because that's the best way they can go about it is they just leave out the first part. Like Lady Antebellum didn't really change their name. They just took away a bunch of letters. They're Lady A. They didn't change the name. They're not Lady North. They're Lady A. They just got rid of the N, the T, the E. I can't spell this early in the morning, but you know what I mean. All they did was just erase a bunch of letters. They took white out to the rest of their name. That's all they did.
Well, they're saving money, you know, on the lettering.
I mean, Greg, that's not a name change, right? That's dropping letters.
That's dropping. Yeah. That's dropping letters.
It's exactly what Dunkin' Donuts did. They just took out the O N U T S and the U N K I N. So Cracker Barrel is going to take out the C-R-A-C-K-E-R and just go come to the Barrel. And there'll still be Cracker Barrel because they're not going to change all the letterhead. That's a lot of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to change the billing and the receipts and the password, you know?
You're making me hungry thinking about those hot biscuits.
All right. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in on this today.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. 855-839-1210 is the number for you. Let me go to Jack in Havertown. Hey, Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I have a question. If they destroy all the flags and all the statues and all the things in history, will the kids in school 20 years or 10 years or 30 years from now say there's no such thing as slavery? All that stuff's been washed away. So what's the basis for any of their arguments after that?
So the point you're making is actually a point that George Orwell made quite often, which is that eventually when the people in power get into power, they want to change everybody's thinking on the current world and what happened in the past. They do that deliberately. They change things on purpose. That's what you have to guard against. It's one of the warnings that Orwell has always had in his writings. What you're saying is not crazy. What you're saying is actually right. What they would do, though, is they wouldn't drop slavery. They would just use that part of American history to suggest that America has always been, always been racist. We've never come to terms with it. And they'll gloss over the abolitionists. They'll gloss over the Republicans. They'll gloss over the Civil War. Like they'll gloss over those things to make it seem like it's never ended. You know what I mean? Like that still is where we are today.
Yeah, well, that's very dangerous. I mean, they wouldn't be able to teach it in school since all the history is wiped away. To say, if somebody brings up slavery, what was that? There's no such thing as slavery.
Yeah. Jack, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Some of the freed slaves like Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, some others who became Republicans. Frederick Douglass, just so you understand, the parties have not flipped. Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman were two of the most outspoken advocates for the Second Amendment. I saw yesterday, I was in Home Depot, I saw this African-American gentleman, large guy with a big shirt on. It's a shirt that said the NRA on the front. On the back was the, looks like a Jack Daniels bottle all about the Second Amendment. So I said, I got to tell you, my friend, I said, I love that shirt. He goes, oh, thanks, brother. And we did the chicken wing thing from, 6 feet away. And I thought to myself, there's a story recently I referenced from Reason.com where more Black Americans than ever are getting guns. to protect their businesses and their homes from looters and rioters. And if you go back to, again, to the abolitionist movement, some of the biggest outspoken advocates for the Second Amendment were freed slaves who understood the reason why you had to be able to defend yourself from tyranny. Frederick Douglass is a great example of this. But all their other philosophies that they had were also in line with modern day conservative thinking. That's what I mean. Again, the lie that the things have changed, that things have flipped, the parties change. It's a lie. It's a lie. And I have proven that. I have proven that by systematically. I've read the notes from the Confederacy. I've understood that. I've talked to history professors who've outlined those points. Nothing has changed. But what has changed, though, is spin. Spin has changed and a crappy education system that wants to rewrite history. Like Orwell feared, like Orwell warned us about. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. The president talked about, he said something I love, is music to my ears. I've said this, I don't know how many times I've said this, this very line. I've literally said on this show a lot, and I'm very happy that the president is embracing this line. Cut 13.
We're renewing our call on Congress to finally enact school choice now. School choice is a big deal. Because access to education is the civil rights issue of our time, and I've heard that for the last, I would say, year, but it really is. It's the civil rights issue of our time. When you can have children go to a school where their parents want them to go, and it creates competition, and other schools fight harder because all of a sudden they say, wow, we're losing it. We have to fight harder. It gets better so many different ways. But there are groups of people against that. You have unions against it. You have others against it. And they're not against it for the right reasons. They're against it for a lot of the wrong reasons. And we're going to get that straight now. We've done a lot of it. We've had tremendous success with choice.
Good. You know what? I love hearing that. It is absolutely the civil rights issue of our time, school choice. I've talked about it a million times. I've used that exact phrase. So I'm very, very happy that the president has embraced that phrase as well. Checking in on social media, Scott Martin reminds me Dunkin' Donuts just dropped the donuts. It's now just Dunkin', and the slogan is America runs on Dunkin'. See, Greg, that's my point. They just dropped the cracker, and they just barrel. Yep. Come to the barrel.
But if you, like, you know, if you go to a Dunkin' Donuts, like, the logo on the coffee is the DD.
So the DD is the logo, yeah.
So you were partially right on that.
That check-in on social media brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter, and they really do matter, and we love checking in with you on social media. Michelle Tate asks a great question. She says, Rich, shouldn't Lady Antebellum drop the lady, since that word is offensive to the other 256 various genders out there?
I mean, that's a really good point. It's a really, really, really good point.
So they're non-binary Antebellum was just not as popular of a name choice.
Yeah. So their name will just be L.A.?
Yeah. L.A. Yeah.
Right, L.A. Well, L.A. La.
Then
and
Los
now,
Angeles,
ladies and gentlemen, L.A. Like, what?
Then Los Angeles just gets offended. Can't use
and then
that.
They have to change the name because it reminds people of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You don't want that, that's for sure.
Then they'll just be...
I'm sorry, Don, you were going to say?
No, it's absolutely true. It's what are they going to be named? What's anybody going to be named?
Nothing. We shouldn't have names.
By the
It'll
way,
it'll be symbols like a Prince.
Like Prince.
Well, he was a symbol, then he changed it back. He was the symbol formerly known as Prince, and then he became the Prince formerly known as the symbol, right? Wasn't that the way it worked?
His, by the way, right, was a contract dispute. It was about money.
Oh, was it? It was about money.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's always about money, right? They probably Lady Antebellum probably figures they can't fire their manager as long as they're Lady Antebellum or something.
Yes,
it's probably
exactly.
Like in their contract.
And plus, look at we're talking about when have we talked about Lady Antebellum? So they're getting a lot of free advertisement.
Whenever we're allowed to go to concerts again, are they going to have to put Lady? Because like not everybody follows social media, so like are they going to have trouble selling tickets? Like, are they going to have to be formally Lady Antebellum,
That's
Lady
A?
Because
I think their fans have always called them Lady A for years. Because it's easier. Hey, let's play some Lady A. Like, it's just easier to say.
You.
I've always heard the country stations always go, and now Lady A with their new album. I've never really, because it's just quicker to say, and people are lazy. So if they can save 11 letters, it's like 8 seconds of their life right there, you know?
I know.
It's huge.
I will say, my wife is a big country music fan, and we went to one of their concerts years ago in Camden. And I want to say that the only Lady Antebellum, the full name of the song, was on the stage. And then everyone else just referred to them as Lady A, or they said in the middle of the show, "We are Lady A," something like that.
So they've been wanting to do this anyway.
Yeah, this was a long time coming. That's what I mean. It's an opportunistic move to do it on their part now. By the way, what's also amazing to me is that Donald Trump apparently is not going to leave the White House. So that's something we've talked about a lot as well, is that having him physically removed from the White House, sending in people to evict him. Like a squatter, you know what I mean? If he loses the election, they have to send in the police to drag him out of the White House. Like, because that's what happens with squatters if they don't pay their rent. Although under COVID-19, you can't kick anybody out don't pay their rent. Did you know that?
Yes.
Squatter's rights.
Or pay their bills. Like,
so if Trump
bills.
Loses, what he should say is, you can't make me leave because there's coronavirus.
Because he has
nowhere
to go.
And claim squatter's rights to the White House.
6 months you have. Almost a year,
that's it.
Actually.
That's what I'm saying. So Joe Biden says the military will make sure Trump is physically removed from the White House if he loses in 2020. All right. He's on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Cut 4.
Do you worry then? Let me ask you this. And I know this
pop
is
that
a
up a little
question
bit for me,
to ask an
hear.
American politician, maybe easier around the world. But have you ever considered what would happen if the election result came out as you being the winner and Trump refused to leave?
Yes, I have. And I was so damn proud. Here you have 4 chiefs of staff coming out and ripping the skin off of Trump. And you have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
Okay, so they're going to escort him from the White House. And yet, Joe Biden's single greatest concern is this. Cut 12.
It's my greatest concern. My single greatest concern. This president's going to try to steal this election. This is a guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent, direct voting by mail, while he sits behind the desk in the Oval Office and writes his mail-in ballot to vote in the primary. This is a guy, you have 23, I believe it is, states have passed over 82 pieces of legislation, making it harder for people to vote. Harder.
Okay, so which is it? Is he going to steal the election or is the military going to escort him out? Which is it is my question. Does anyone know? Now, here's something else interesting. Somebody wanted to respond to Joe Biden with his fears that Trump is going to steal the election. We have exclusive audio of this person now telling the candidate with this crazy, crazy idea that the election can be stolen. Cut 12B.
I have never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history, any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place.
Now, this is amazing. Stop it, please. This is fascinating audio. Greg, did you, Barack Obama responding to Joe Biden with his ridiculous claims that Trump is going to steal the election? How did you find this?
Well, actually, he was talking, this is from 2016. He's talking about Trump.
Oh, this is 2016.
Right, yeah. October 20, right before the election of 2016.
Oh, so right, because back then everybody said Trump was crazy when he said that the election could be stolen from him. And Obama was lecturing him. Gotcha. So Obama didn't actually come out and lecture Joe Biden that he's literally saying the same thing Trump said in October 2016. He's just...
No, he endorsed Joe Biden.
Well, keep going with President Obama, because I think it does absolutely apply to Democrat nominee Joe Biden.
It's unprecedented. It happens to be based on no facts.
Right.
You start whining before the game's even over.
Yeah.
If whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
I'll tell you what, Mr. President, it's a great point. You're telling Joe Biden right there, you know, stop whining before the election even happens. All right. Matthew Sterling says, if a court grants police permission to enter a premises to take away a person's freedom and search the site, what difference does it make if they knock first? They should have to prove risk of violence, but it should not be banned. people should be able to sue if no-knock provisions abused. Let me ask you this, Matthew. Say they, you have guns and they came into your house at 1:30 in the morning with guns. They just barged in, knocked the door over. You grab your firearm from the side because you think somebody is breaking into your home. They see that gun and shoot and kill you. Do you think the knock makes a difference? Is my question.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Mike is in Wilmington, Delaware. Mike, good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, good morning. Thanks. How you doing, Rich?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Hey, look, my wife is black and half my family's black and been for a long, long time. And we go to Cracker Barrel and we enjoy it there because it's a non-racial place. Like it's like half and half, and the servers and the service is so nice. And it's a comfort place for us that we can walk away from the racial world because it's so non-racial. But we also think that we've talked about the name before, not having to do with race, but we always thought it was like a place that sold cheese or something when we first learned about it. You know, it's just a stupid name, but the place itself is awesome.
It is awesome. My parents take my kids there all the time, and Patrick loves, it's his favorite restaurant. He loves going to Cracker Barrel, loves it. Every time my parents come, they go, where do you want to go? He goes, Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, we go there. We go to Pennsville. We go down Elkton. But like after church on Sunday, you know, like half the congregation goes there. It's not a racial place at all. It's just silly that these people are making a racial thing out of that. But I just want to give you a cracker funny story. One time I had a Davy Crockett hat at Christmas. I put it on for presents or something. And my mother-in-law said, oh, you're Davy Cracker.
Okay. She's a very funny woman, your mother-in-law.
Yes, she was.
thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Have a great day. Enjoy your weekend. There you go. That kind of humor, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she's African-American. She's making a joke.
I know.
It's funny.
I know. It's good. And like all mother-in-laws, she can't stand them.
No, I just think people, you know, a sense of humor, you know, I don't know. I think to laugh at things is the best, you know, remedy.
Well, we don't have laughter on this show. We're not allowed.
No laughing.
No laughing. By the way, speaking of laughing, let me just point out to you that, you know, with all these amazing audio clips we have, we try to always bring you the best stuff. Sometimes, though, these clips are absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes they're really, really good. But guess who's at it again? The celebrities, the Hollywood celebs. Do you remember all their little ads they did with the with like to stop Donald Trump, and they keep repeating themselves? You remember that whole thing?
Yes. Very, very self-serving.
Yeah, and then it was the Electoral College, all these celebrities reading for, you know, trying to convince the electors not to vote for Trump in the Electoral College. You remember that?
Yeah, it's where they all say the same phrases or the same words one after another, and it just becomes repetitive.
So they're getting killed, but liberals on social media are killing these white Hollywood celebrities for this video they put out called Take Responsibility, where they all take responsibility for racism. And the Daily Beast, which, Greg, is not a conservative site, right?
No, it's not a conservative site at all.
Okay,
no.
Just making sure. Daily Beast slammed this thing as saying, oh, this is cringeworthy,
yes.
Cringeworthy. Take a little listen to this. Cut 11.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility. I take responsibility for every unchecked moment, for every time it was easier to ignore than to call it out for what it was.
Every not so funny joke. Every unfair stereotype.
Every blatant injustice, no matter how big or small.
Every time I remained silent.
Every time I explained away police brutality or turned a blind eye.
I take responsibility. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets, killed in their own homes. These are our brothers and sisters.
Our friends, our family. We are done watching them die. We are no longer bystanders. We will not be idle. Enough is enough.
I will no longer allow an unchecked moment. I will no longer allow racist, hurtful words, jokes, stereotypes, no matter how big or small.
Why were you allowing it before? Okay, let's stop it for a second now. First of all, these are all white Hollywood actors who are all super rich. As everybody on Twitter was pointing out, why don't they just give all their money to the NAACP or something like that, you know?
Yeah, donate.
Just give all your money over.
No, a video is easier, guys. A video is easier. They don't have to put any thought or,
their
and also you might win an Academy Award for that, because I mean, exactly. The guy who plays Jesse on Breaking Bad, his moments are particularly like, he's definitely going for an Oscar there with his, right?
Yeah.
And, yes.
And, yeah. He's Aaron Paul. And, he's definitely going for an Oscar there.
And by the way, I think Justin Theroux is in this. And if I remember correctly, I could be wrong on this, but I think he wrote Tropic Thunder or had a hand in Tropic Thunder. So, I mean, if you remember Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, so like...
Oh, right, he wore blackface, right?
Yes, yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's hysterical.
So
like,
now do we have to get rid of Robert Downey Jr.? Does that mean all the Avengers movies have to go too?
And Ben Stiller making fun of differently abled people in that movie.
Oh, that's right, and yes, yes.
Well, so describe. you make a PSA, you just keep repeating yourselves over and over and over again, and then you can virtue signal and go, hey, all right, look at us. Look at us. But then they all go, I will never allow racist comments again. Why did you allow them before you? We don't tolerate racist comments on this show. We don't make racial stereotypes in this show. Why were all these Hollywood celebrities allowing all this to occur until now?
Right.
Why did these people put up with it until now? It took George Floyd dying for Hollywood to realize that they were hanging out with racists and making racist jokes all the time. What the hell's going on over there?
Well, let's look at them. Pedophilia. All the sexist behavior.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Take it easy, Hollywood. Sister. Where are we going here? Hang on. Hang on.
Hollywood is like a cesspool.
Let's just dial it back a second and focus on the PSA, shall we?
We're just trying to have a little fun with
it. Just take it back with the P word. It's 8:25. It's Friday. And you got news to do anyway. Thank God. Thank you, God.
Don't get me started.
Go ahead.
Hollywood. Bunch of sinners. All right.
All
good
right.
morning.
All right.
We have 74 degrees. It's Friday, June the 12th. Happy Friday. It's the only show news sponsored by and brought to you by DuckDuckGo. So we've talked a lot about the protesters beheading the statue of Christopher Columbus. City crews were trying to remove the thing from a park in Camden, New Jersey, but nope, they took the head, slammed it down, and say that Christopher Columbus, he's a symbol of racism and bad things. So they got rid of no more statue.
Bad things.
Bad things.
Bad things.
All bad.
All right.
I thought this was something different. Babynames.com's homepage is a somber memorial following George Floyd's death. So they wrote on there, if you know babynames.com, I don't know if Zioli and Bridget went to this site, but a lot of
people. Of course we did. We had to.
Right?
To look Reagan was not one of the names. That's why we went there, because we wanted a name that everybody didn't have, you know?
So they have this, it's all in black, and it says each one of these names was somebody's baby. And then they just list the names. That's all they say. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, and they just put their names up. So it's a very somber, very simple, their tribute to these people. So I thought that was pretty classy and pretty moving. It is Friday, June the 12th, the day Philadelphia begins allowing outdoor dining at some restaurants as long as you follow all the city guidelines. So it's a big day for Philadelphia.
It is a big day, finally. It took too long. It should have happened a long time ago.
And we do have warnings from wildlife experts. There is a species of warty toxic toads.
What?
Toxic toads.
Warty toxic toads. That's the next thing now.
Yes.
So the murder hornets didn't get us, but the warty toxic toads
That's
will.
Right.
2020 sucks.
It's the bufo toad, and it's poisonous. It's very poisonous, especially when a dog or a cat might bite it. So it's especially in the southern states, but it's very invasive. So wildlife experts are saying, if you see this toad, kill it, because this milky white toxin on its back is actually could kill a dog or cat in 15 minutes.
Oh my God!
Boom, yeah. Or wow.
So you
got to
kill the horny toad, the wart toads.
Yes. Kill the toad.
Nobody's gonna know the difference. Everybody's just gonna start murdering frogs. You have this big frog murder going on, and it's gonna be terrible.
That's true. That's very.
And then
true.
What'll happen is the frogs won't be there to eat the bugs, and then the bugs will kill us. And this is the plot of the murder hornet. And then 2020 ends with a bang. The longest year ever.
Do you have any good news stories, Dawn? I mean, my Lord.
Well, she's not talking about Hollywood pedophilia, so there's that, Greg. I mean, there is that.
Well,
the horny toad is going to kill my dog in 15 minutes.
I know. Now, one more thing for Stalker.
Please, like, you let your dog out of the house. Give me a break.
I know.
That dog has not been outside since coronavirus came. Who are you kidding?
It's just had puppy pads the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. The dog literally now sits on, like, the toilet. That's how long this dog has been going inside the house.
It's like, oh, can I please go out in the yard? All right, from dogs and cats to ducks, tired of being tracked online, DuckDuckGo.
Stop with the animal transition for DuckDuckGo. We don't have many rules on this show, but I'm implementing that rule. Starting Monday, no more of these animal transitions for DuckDuckGo. They're banned. Off the show. No more.
The duck helps millions of people like you take control of your personal
Yesterday
info.
Was horses. Now it's frogs.
Frogs, bears, dogs, and cats. Oh, my. One download free. You search and browse privately. Avoid the trackers. And it's DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. With the NBC 10 first alert forecast, it's gorgeous. Today, tomorrow are the most beautiful days. Today, 86, but the humidity is much lower, 78 tomorrow. It's perfect. And then Sunday, it's 76. It's going to be mostly cloudy, but still just a lovely weekend ahead. Brought to you by and sponsored by Enlightened Solutions Drug and Alcohol Detox and Treatment Center. Compassionate experts are here to explore proven treatment options with you or your family. Thousands have trusted their process. Now time for you to do the same. Visit ES215.com, ES215.com. I'm Dawn. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is our number.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.